Let's humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we come before you at this time, thanking you for this holy Sabbath day and the opportunity to come together and to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Father, for all of the love that you've given us and shown us through your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and the great sacrifice that he has given in shedding his blood, Father, for our sins. Because truly, Father, he was a righteous man. And he gave his life that we might have an opportunity at life everlasting. Help us, Father, to attain to that wisdom that we understand what his sacrifice was all about. Truly, the Passover is a time where we can see and learn of Yahshua's great sacrifice. And Father, we ask that we would look at our lives and prepare ourselves for your Passover memorial as we try our best, Father, to not only partake, but be a part of your kingdom in partaking of the emblem. Father, we love you, and we thank you for Yahshua. And we thank you for the love that you've shown each and every one of us, and not looking at our sins, Father, but forgiving them through the shed blood of your Son. Again, Father, we thank you, and we ask that your wisdom would dwell in our hearts as we open our hearts and minds to receive the implanted word. Father, bless each and every one of us that is sincere in trying to do that which is right in your sight. Again, we thank you for all that you've done for us. In Yahshua's holy name we pray, and thank you, and ask again, Father, in Yahshua's name, hallelujah. I've entitled this message, Our Moral Compass. Which direction is your moral compass taking you? We know a compass shows us direction so that we can know which direction we're going. The scriptures tell us, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. We know abortion and homosexuality is a sin. Our society is steadily creeping in that direction. Abortion is legal, and soon same-sex marriage is probably going to be legal as well. Have we lost our direction, brethren, as a country, as an Almighty Yahweh-fearing people? This country was founded on certain principles of keeping the law of Almighty Yahweh. How can we guide our children if we don't know what direction to go in? That's the next question. Sin is the transgression of the law. That's what the Bible teaches. Sin is the transgression of the law. Okay? Now, most Christians will tell you today that the law has been done away with. But we know that that's not true. The scriptures teach us what we're supposed to do. One Eve for one Adam, or one woman for one man. Are we good examples of the type of people Almighty Yahweh wants us to be, brethren? By opening scripture, I'd like you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. It says, my son, forget not my law. So if the law is done away with, why is Yahweh telling us not to forget it? My son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace will they add to you. Let not kindness and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of Elohim and man. So in other words, if you're keeping the commandments, you're going to find good understanding, not only in the people around you, but in Yahweh. He's going to bless you. See? Good understanding. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart. And lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear Yahweh and depart from evil. So the writer of Proverbs is telling us to depart from evil, and Yahweh will direct our paths. Okay? We know what this world is about. The world is not about serving Almighty Yahweh. The world is about itself. And that's what Satan wants. He wants everybody to be about themselves. Now, which direction is your own personal moral compass taking you? Remember what I said, okay, earlier about our country and the direction it's going in. Homosexuality, abortion aplenty, okay? One Eve for one Adam, okay? Not another Adam for another Adam, or another Eve for another Eve. Exodus chapter 20. We just talked about the law. Let's go read it. Exodus chapter 20. Start in verse 1. Is Almighty Yahweh guiding you by your moral compass? The commandments will give us a moral grounding we need to do the right thing every time. Every time. Not some of the time, but every time. Exodus 20, verse 1. And Elohim spoke all these words, saying, I am Yahweh, your Elohim, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And we know Egypt is synonymous with sin. Okay? It's a type that word means sin. Alright? Out of the house of bondage. Because sin is bondage, brethren. But we want freedom. And that freedom comes from keeping Yahweh's commandments. You shall have no other Elohim before me. You shall not make for yourself a graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, Yahweh, your Elohim, am a jealous of. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those that hate me and showing mercy to thousands of them that keep my commandments. You shall not make wrong use of the name of Yahweh, your Elohim. For Yahweh will not leave unpunished the man that misuses his name. So the name of Yahweh is very important to our worship, brother. It's very important in our lives. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. For the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh your Elohim. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son, or your daughter, or your manservant, or your maidservant, or your cattle, or the stranger that is within your gate. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and holiday. So the Sabbath is special. He's telling us that we have to separate ourselves from the rest of the world. We have to do something different on that day of the week. Yahweh hallowed the Sabbath. That means he made it holy. He set it apart. It's been set apart from the other 6 days of the week. So we're only supposed to work how many days? 6 days. The Sabbath is special. It's set apart for a holy purpose. The fifth commandment is honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land which Yahweh, your Elohim, gives you. Now, each one of us has a mother. And you know how we feel about our mother. We normally care more, it seems, about our mom than our dad, but for some reason it seems that we have that affection for our mother. because they've nurtured us. They've given us life. But Yahweh is the one that's truly given us life. Okay? Think about it. And we love our fathers as well. Especially our Father in heaven. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or his maidservant or his ox or his ass or anything that is your neighbor. See? We're supposed to do what Yahweh has commanded us to do. So the grounding, our moral compass is grounded by these commandments. If we keep these commandments, we have a particular direction that we're traveling in. And that direction is the kingdom of Almighty Yahweh. Turn with me to Mark chapter 8. Mark 8, and we'll start in verse 1. In those days, when there was again a great multitude, and they had nothing to eat, he called to him the disciples and says to them, I have compassion on the multitude. And this is Yahshua. He's telling his disciples, I love the people, the multitude. He's showing compassion on them. He's showing love. See, if you look at compassion, the word is compassion. Yeah. Compassion. Your compass is there. Yahshua is showing you a direction that you need to go. His moral compass is telling him, these people are hungry. I'm going to feed them. They need something to eat. I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their home, they will faint on the way, and some of them are come from far. And his disciples answered, from where shall one be able to fill these men with bread here in the desert place? He asked them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7. And he commands the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they set them before the multitude. And they had a few small fishes. And having blessed them, he commanded to set these also before them. And they ate and were filled. And they took up of broken pieces that remained over 7 baskets. And they were about 4,000. And he sent them away. And immediately he entered into the boat with his disciples and came into the park of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven. But see, he just showed them a sign. He just fed the multitude. Trying him. That's their purpose. Their purpose is to, you know, show. They tried him. And he sighed deeply and says, why does this generation seek a sign? Truly I say to you, there shall no sign be given to this generation. And he left them and again, entering into the boat, departed to the other side. The generation seeks a sign. But Yahshua had compassion. He's had compassion on us. Do we mind the things of man or of Yahweh, brother? Drop down to verse 32 of Mark 8. And he, speaking of Yahshua, began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. And he spoke the saying openly. This wasn't hidden. This was shared among all, the Jews to hear, as well as anyone else. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. And he, turning about and seeing his disciples, rebuked Peter, saying, "Get you behind me, Satan, for you mind not the things of Elohim, but the things of men." And too often, that's what happens. We're concerned with what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, you know, what the needs of this life. We're concerned with, you know, too many of the carnal things. Well, we need to be concerned about the spiritual things. Our moral compass should be directing us to the kingdom of Yahweh. And that kingdom is a spiritual place. It's a physical place as well. But for us to get there, we have to be a spiritual people. Okay? And for us to be a spiritual people, that means we have to have Yahweh's Holy Spirit in our life, brother. And it's going to help us overcome this carnal world. He says, "Get you behind me, Satan, for you mind not the things of Elohim, but the things of men." And he called to him the multitude with his disciples and said to them, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his burden and follow me. For whoever would save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life for my sake and the evangel shall save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what should a man give in exchange for his life? For whoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man also shall be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Now we want Almighty Yahweh not to be ashamed of us. We want Almighty Yahweh to actually choose us. Turn to Matthew chapter 19. That's Matthew 19, verse 16. It says, "And behold, one came to him and said, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why do you ask me concerning that which is good? One there is who is good. But if you would enter into life, keep the commandments.'" We already read the commandments. And he says, "Which?" And Yahshua said, "You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man says to him, "All these things have I observed. What do I yet lack?" Yahshua said to him, "If you would be perfect, go sell that which you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he was one that had great possessions. Brethren, the thing came between him and the kingdom. What does your moral compass direct you to do? Yahshua told him, "Hey, you're keeping all the commandments. All you got to do is sell what you have." See, his love wasn't great enough that he was willing to give all his wealth away to the poor so he could be in the kingdom and have the true riches. He was concerned with this life. And if we're concerned with this life, brethren, we cannot make it to the next. We can't make it to the kingdom of Yahweh. Do we mind the things of man or of Yahweh? You don't have the power, brethren, to obey until you make the choice to obey. Now I'm going to repeat that. You don't have the power to obey until you make that choice to obey. There are many social influences around you that shape who you are. But your moral compass should help you overcome the influence of the evil one. We all know what is right and wrong even before we knew the law. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore Yahweh himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, when he knows to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you hate shall be forsaken. Brethren, there are five things we need to commit to Yahweh. Five things. One is our time. Two is our temple. Three is our talent. Four is our testimony. And five is our treasure. I'm not gonna go through each one of these right now. I'm just going to list them. We'll deal with them later. But what I'll repeat them. One, our time. We got these five things that we need to commit to Yahweh so that our moral compass will be directed properly. Two, our temple. Three, our talent. And four, our testimony. And five, our treasure. Malachi chapter 3. We'll just deal with the treasure right now, because that seems to touch most people's hearts. Number 5, the Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. It says, from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. And that's what Yahweh wants us to do. He wants us to repent of our sinful ways, brother. Says Yahweh's host. But you say, in what way shall we return? Verse 8. Will a man rob Elohim? Yet you rob me, but you say, in what have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you rob me, even this whole nation. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now with this, says Yahweh's host. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now I know none of us are that wealthy, that we don't have room enough to receive the blessings of Almighty Yahweh. So that means that each and every one of us are coming up short in this area. Okay? That's why I only chose that one area out of the five to deal with. And I'm not going to linger on it. I'm just dealing with it real quick. He says he's going to open up the windows of heaven and bless us so that we won't have room to receive it. So there's something that each one of us has to look at our lives and say, well, hey, I'm short here. I need to shore up this area. And verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast its fruit before the time in the field, says Yahweh's host. And all nations shall call you happy, for you shall be a delightful land, says Yahweh's host. Your words have been stout against me, says Yahweh, yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve Elohim. Is it vain to serve Yahweh? I don't think so, brother. And what profit is it that we have kept his charge and that we have walked mournfully before Yahweh's host? And now we call the proud happy. Yes, they that work wickedness are built up. Yes, they tempt Elohim and escape only for a moment. And verse 16, then they that feared Yahweh spoke one with another. And Yahweh listened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared Yahweh and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, says Yahweh of hosts, even my own possession in that day that I make. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serves Elohim and him that serves him not. Do we serve Almighty Yahweh in everything that we do, brother? There's a book that I read many years ago, and it's called The Richest Man in Babylon. I'd like each and every one of you to try to get that book and read that book. Now, it's not a very spiritual book. It's not about tithing. It does talk about it, but it's not just about tithing. Actually, the book is telling you how to become wealthy, okay? It's only 85 pages. It's a very, very small book. But it's called The Richest Man in Babylon. And I think it's by Clausen. I was going to look it up, but I just couldn't work it out. Clausen is the author. Like I said, it's a very, very small paperback. And it goes back to ancient Babylon and talks about, so sometimes it's a little slow in the beginning, and people might think it's a hard read, but it's really easy to read. But I want you to read that, because that knowledge from that little book can change your life, okay? It can change your life, because he teaches you a principle, and that principle you need to, you know, include in your life. If our moral compass is working correctly, how we view and respond to others is based on love. We want the best for everyone, even those that don't like us. Turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, we'll start in verse 1. But there shall be no gloom to her that was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, as he made it glorious, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nation. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shone. We know that light to be Yahshua the Messiah. Okay? You have multiplied the nation. You have increased their joy. They joy before you according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the plunder. For the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as in the day of Midian. For all the armor of the armed man in the tumult, and the garments rolled in blood, shall be for burning, for fuel of fire. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty El, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Shabbat Shalom in Hebrew. Of the increase of his government and of the peace there shall be no end. That kingdom has not been established yet, brethren. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to establish it, and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from now on, even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Yahshua was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward hungered. And the tempter came and said to him, if, conditional, if you are the son of Yahweh, command these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Then the devil takes him into the holy city, we know as Jerusalem, and he set him on the pinnacle of the temple and says to him, if you are the son of Yahweh, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, and on their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Joshua said to him, again, it is written, you shall not make trial of Yahweh, your Elohim. Again, the devil takes him to a very high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then says Joshua to him, get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship Yahweh, your Elohim, and him only shall you serve. Our moral compass should be directing us, brethren, into the kingdom of Yahweh. We're going to have Satan come to us on a regular basis, trying to divert us from our goal. He's going to try, just like he tried with Joshua. But we have, with Yahweh's Holy Spirit, the ability to overcome. We can tell Satan the same thing. Get behind me. Flee from me, because all we have to do is resist. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. In verse 12, now when he heard that John was delivered up, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt at Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people sat in darkness and saw a great light. And to them that sat in the region and the shadow of death, to them did light spring up. From that time began Joshua to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So that passage, that prophecy that we read in Isaiah was fulfilled in Joshua the Messiah. Across the page, Matthew chapter 5. Verse 1, and seeing the multitude, he went up into the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I was witnessing to someone a little while ago, and they constantly, of course, telling me that the kingdom, I mean, people are going to heaven. And I'm telling them, no, the scriptures don't support that. It's showing us, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The kingdom is coming to this earth. Turn to Zephaniah, chapter 2. You can hold your place in Matthew. We're going to come back. But Zephaniah, chapter 2. Zephaniah chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 3. It says, seek Yahweh, all you meek of the earth that have kept his ordinances. Talk about his commandments. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness. It may be you will be hid in the day of Yahweh's anger. If we want to be protected, brethren, If we want to be hid in the day of Yahweh, we have to be the meek of the earth. We have to be those that are sincere, whose moral compass is directing them to keep Yahweh's commandments. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. It says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Because they want to serve Yahweh. They're seeking righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If you show mercy, you can receive mercy, brother. That's what it's telling us in the Word. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see Yahweh. Do you want to see Yahweh, brother? Our moral compass should be directing us to keeping the covenant law, the commandments, so that we can see Yahweh when Yahshua returns. It says in verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of Elohim. We're going to be called the children of Yahweh if we are trying to make peace, if we are trying to keep the covenant law. Blessed are they that have been persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall reproach you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely. And that's the key, brother. It has to be falsely. For my sake, and even if it's true, repent, and Yahshua's blood will cover your sin. Rejoice and be very glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. For so they persecuted the prophets that were before you. Psalm 34, verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of Yahweh are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of Yahweh is against them that do evil. And you don't want Yahweh's face against you. You want Yahweh's face for you. The righteous cried and Yahweh heard and delivered them out of all their troubles. Every one of their troubles they were delivered out of. Yahweh is near to them that are of a broken heart and of such and save such as are of the contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh delivers him out of them all. It says here, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh delivers him out of them all, brother. Psalm 37. Turn over to Psalm 37. We'll start in verse 3 of Psalm 37:3. Trust in Yahweh and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. The food that Yahweh gives us on a regular basis, brother, we have to feed on. We have to accept his word so it will govern and direct our moral compass. His word is going to direct us to the kingdom. Delight yourself also in Yahweh, and he will give you the desires of your heart. What is it that you desire, brother? Do you desire to be in his kingdom? That should be our number one goal in our life. To overcome this life, this carnal life, and be a part of the kingdom of Almighty Yahweh. Commit your way to Yahweh. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And he will make your righteousness to go forth as light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in Yahweh and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evildoers. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait for Yahweh, they shall inherit the earth. That word is ha'aretz. It says the land here, it's been translated, but it means the earth. The same thing. Ha'aretz, the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yes, you shall diligently consider the place, his place, and he shall not be. He's not going to be anymore. He's going to be removed. He's going to be destroyed. But the meek shall inherit the earth, the land, ha'aretz, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. They're going to have peace because Yahweh is going to bless them with that peace because they sought him. See, they put him first in their life, and he's going to bless them for that. If Yahweh is not first in your life, brethren, you got to reorientate your priorities. You got to change your moral compass and direct it to his kingdom. Drop down to verse 16. Better is the little that the righteous have than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but Yahweh upholds the righteous. He's going to take care of his people. Believe that, brother. Yahweh's going to take care of his people. Yahweh knows the days of the perfect, and their inheritance shall be forever. They're going to receive everlasting life because Yahweh is the only one that can give eternal life. He's the only mighty one that can give you eternal life. So you think about it, brother. Who do you want to serve? As Joshua the general said in the book of Joshua, me and my house, we're going to choose to serve Almighty Yahweh. We want to be in the kingdom. Verse 19, they shall not be put to shame in the time of evil. And that time of evil is coming soon upon this earth, brother. And that's why we have to prepare ourselves now and have our moral compass recharged with the law of Yahweh so that we know there are no gray areas. We know what the law of Yahweh teaches. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Who's going to be satisfied in the days of famine that's soon coming upon this earth? Yahweh's people. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of Yahweh shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, in smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borrows and pays not again, but the righteous deals graciously and gives. For such as are blessed of him shall inherit the earth, the land, Ha'aretz. And they that are cursed of him shall be cut off. A man's goings are established of Yahweh, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. And it says the righteous falls seven times and rises yet again. But we have to be believe in Yahweh. But Yahweh upholds him with his hand. And that's what happens. Yahweh is the one that's going to hold us up. I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. All the day long he deals graciously and lends, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For Yahweh loves justice, and forsakes not his saints. He's not going to forsake his people, brother. We just have to be faithful. That's all he asks of us, that we be faithful, that we keep the covenant. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. Forever. Time out of mind. The mouth of the righteous talks of wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his Elohim is in his heart. It's got to be in here, brother. It's got to be in there. None of his steps shall fly. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to kill him. He's trying to destroy Yahweh's people. Yahweh will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. He's not going to condemn his righteous people. Yahweh's not going to condemn you. All you have to do is be faithful and trust in Yahshua, because he knows that we're sinners, but he knows we're repentant sinners. He knows that we fall every now and then, but he also rises us up. He raises us up again every time. See, it's not the falling that we need to be concerned about, brethren. It's the getting up. See? That's why our moral compass should be directing us at all times. We know the difference between right and wrong, brethren. We've all raised properly. I don't care. You can say, well, my parents, you know, were drunk, were alcoholics, were drug addicts, or whatever. But let me tell you this, okay? What did I read in Isaiah about Yahshua? Before he knew to take the good over the evil. We know what's right inherently. It's in our, it's built in us. Yahweh has placed it in us. Eternity is in our hearts. We just have to proceed and go forth. Wait for Yahweh and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the earth, the land, Ha'aretz. He's going to exalt us to inherit the kingdom. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green tree in its native soil. But one passed by, and lo, he was not. He was gone. Yes, I saw him, but he could not be found. He was removed. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for there is a happy end to the man of peace. As for transgressors, they shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is of Yahweh. The salvation of the righteous is of Yahweh. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. And that time of trouble, we know the tribulation is coming soon, brother. And Yahweh is going to be there for us, if our moral compass is directing us properly. And Yahweh helps them and rescues them. He rescues them from the wicked and serves the, and saves them because they have taken refuge in him. So, brethren, each one of us has to know what direction we're going in. We have to know what our moral compass is all about. Turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Verse 7. John 15:7. It says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done to you. And this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples, even as the Father has loved me. I also have loved you. Remain you in my love. If you will keep my commandments, you shall remain in my love, as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do the things which I command. So this is what Yahshua is telling us to do. He wants us to keep his commandments. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant knows not what his master does, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father. I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you may love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all things will they do to you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin, because Joshua revealed it to them. He that hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other did, nobody else has done the works that Joshua has done in this world. Think about it. No other man has done the works of Joshua. They had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this comes to pass, that the word may be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter has come, which I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, it shall bear witness of me, and you also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. They hated Joshua without a cause. Psalm 125. Psalm 125. Very popular psalm. We're all familiar with it. They that trust in Yahweh are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but remains forever. As the mountains are all around Jerusalem, so Yahweh is all around his people. From this time forth and forevermore, for the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, that the righteous put not forth their hands to iniquity. Do good, O Yahweh, to those that are good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. But as for such as turn aside their crooked ways, Yahweh will lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. 2 Kings chapter 6. It's 2 Kings chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 8. I'm going to just paraphrase and read it, not the whole thing in depth, but a little. Now the king of Syria was warring against Israel, against Yahweh's people. And he took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And the man of Elohim sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass such a place, for there the Syrians are coming down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of Elohim told him and warned him of, and he saved himself there, not once or twice. And the heart of the king of Syria was very troubled for this thing, and he called to his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? We got a spy among them. And one of his servants said, no, my sovereign, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber. He's revealing your inner thoughts to the king of Israel. And he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and bring him. And it was told to him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. So then the king of Syria is going to go get Elisha. He's going to go capture him. Verse 14, it says, therefore he sent horses there and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of Elohim had risen early and gone forth, behold, all an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that are with them. And that's what we have to remember every time, brethren. Because Yahweh is our mighty one. And we have more with us than the enemy could ever have. Yahweh is with us if our moral compass is pointing us in the right direction. And Elisha prayed and said, Yahweh, I pray you open his eyes that he may see. And that's what I pray that Yahweh would do for each and every one of us. Open our eyes that we would see, brother, that what Yahweh has done, the great things he's doing for his people. And Yahweh opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed to Yahweh and said, strike this people, I pray you, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. And he led them to Samaria. For he struck the enemy with blindness, and then he took them to whom they sought, which was the king of Israel. Okay? And this is the whole army of Syria. And it came to pass, when they had come into Samaria, that Elisha said, Yahweh, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And Yahweh opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the middle of Samaria. And the king of Israel said to Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I strike them? Shall I strike them? And he answered, you shall not strike them. Would you strike those who you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink, and go to their master. And he prepared great provisions for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master. He sent them back home. He sent them back to Syria. And the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. See, Yahweh showed mercy. He showed love to the enemies of Israel. They were trying to destroy Israel. But Yahweh showed them mercy after capturing them. Does our moral compass show us that we should show mercy to those who are our enemies? Yes, brother. We have to show love, not only to our enemies, but to everyone, to our brethren and to our neighbor, but especially our enemies. That's what Yahweh wants us to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to look at a couple of verses here. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll look at verses 12 to 14. It says, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body being many are one body, so also is the Messiah. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, and were all made to drink of one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Keep that in mind. It's not one, but many. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, this is Paul who wrote this, the prisoner in Yahweh, beseech you that you walk worthily of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, and with long suffering, forbearing one another, in love, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, brethren, one Spirit, even as you were also called in one hope of your calling, one Master, one faith, one baptism, and one El and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. But to each one of us was the grace given according to the measure of the gift of the Messiah. How great is that gift that is within you? The Holy Spirit that Yahweh has given to the baptism. This is what we need to understand. That Holy Spirit is our moral compass. That Holy Spirit is what's guiding us into all truth. That Holy Spirit is what's going to help us achieve the kingdom of Almighty God. Because through the Holy Spirit, we can show love one to another. Therefore, he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And truly, he did give gifts. At baptism, you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a down payment. Verse 9, it says, now this. He ascended. What is it? But that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some to be apostles. We know that the apostles, all those positions are filled. And some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. To the work of ministering, to the building up of the body of the Messiah, till we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Yahweh, to a full-grown man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Messiah. That we may no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, brethren, by the sleight of men and craftiness after the wiles of error, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, even the Messiah, from whom all the body fitly framed and knit together, through that which every joint supplies according to the working in due measure of each several part makes the increase of the body to the building up of itself in love. It's in love that it happens. Across the page, Ephesians chapter 2. So Ephesians 4, verse 25, when I say across the page. Verse 25. Therefore, putting away falsehood, speak ye truth, each one with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing that is good, that he may have something to give to him that has need. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying, as the need be, that it may give grace to them that hear. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, in which you were sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you and all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each one, even as Yahweh also in the Messiah forgave you. Because if we don't forgive, Yahweh's not going to forgive us then. And now Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that once you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, which is the Jew, made by hand, that you were at that time separated from the Messiah, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope without Yahweh in the world. And we were there at one time. We had no hope. But now, through the shed blood of Yahshua the Messiah, we have hope. We have an opportunity at the kingdom of Almighty Yahweh. If our moral compass, that Holy Spirit that has been given, is working correctly, it's going to guide us through love for the kingdom. In verse 13 it says, "But now, in the Messiah Yahshua, you that were once far off are made near in the blood of the Messiah. For he is our peace, who made both one, and broke down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create in himself of the two one new man, making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to Yahweh through the torture stake of Yahshua the Messiah, having slain the enmity by it. And he came and preached peace to you that were far off, and peace to them that were near. For through him we might both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no more strangers and sojourners, but are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of Yahweh, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, that Messiah Yahshua himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Master, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of Yahweh in the Spirit." Does Yahweh have his abode with you, brothers? A closing passage is John chapter 5. Which direction is your moral compass directing you? John chapter 5, verse 19. Yahshua therefore answered and said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do." We have to be good examples, brother. For whatever things he does, these the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself does. And greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he will. For neither does the Father judge any man, but he has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Son honors not the Father that sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he that hears my word and believes him that sent me has eternal life. Do we believe Yahshua the Messiah? If we do, we have eternal life, brother, and comes not into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour comes, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Yahweh, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, even so gave he to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is a Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour comes in which all that are in the tomb shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, to to the resurrection of judgment. Brethren, if your moral compass is directed by love, the love of the Messiah, you will make it to your destination, the kingdom of Yahweh. If the carnal lust of this world directs your moral compass, the lake of fire will be your reward. Our choice is simple. Follow Yahshua's compassion or compass, his moral compass, for our fellow man, and we will succeed. Our goal is to be in the kingdom. Your moral compass should direct you by compassion, brethren, which is the love of Yahweh. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as your moral compass directs you to the kingdom of Almighty Yahweh. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Mac McKelvey to close with a word of prayer.
Let's all bow. Father Yahweh, we pause on the Sabbath day to give you thanks and praise, Father, for brothers of like precious faith. And Father, let us all look to you for guidance, Father. Look to you because you've shown us love, Father. And help us to glean from what we know of you. And help us to know you more, Father, because you can't love someone you don't know. Help us all to grow closer to you as Passover is fast approaching, Father. Help us to search our hearts and our mind, Father, that we have something that's left undone. Help us to correct it, Father, before we come before you. Bless your people wherever they are gathered, Father, that you will strengthen us and unite us and keep us dedicated and mindful of your covenant, Father. Bless your people, Father, and strengthen them. In Yahshua's name, we give you thanks in all things. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.